The main side effect so far has been hypertension, which in general is modest and easily manageable. It occurs in about a quarter of all patients, but somewhere between 1 out of 10 and 2 or 3 out of 10 will need to add or adjust a component of their blood pressure regimen. In general, all of the blood pressure medications used to date have had success, and the key issue is actually close monitoring of the patient. As oncologists, we used to be able to forget about a lot of other general internal medicine issues because the cancer mortality was the biggest issue for our patient. Now that patients are able to stay on treatments for a year and potentially longer in some cases, management of these other side effect profiles is probably going to be important. In particular, blood pressure should probably be measured at every clinic visit, and if there's a clear trend for increase, blood pressure medication should be instituted. Best clinical judgment should be used as far as selection and titration of any given agent.
Anything new in terms of the mechanism of why the hypertension occurs?
The mechanism between hypertension is a great question, and it is not yet well understood. Preclinical models and some experience in the cardiovascular literature suggest that nitric oxide-mediated mechanisms are likely involved. However, nitric oxide, in turn, regulates many of the other processes involved, and these include issues related to vascular tone, renal hemodynamics, and alterations of the renin-angiotensin system. In short, we really don't yet know, in people, what is the mechanism of hypertension. More than likely, some component of all of these is involved, but at this time, there really is not enough mechanistic information to drive selection of one antihypertensive medication versus another. Currently, I would suggest making this decision on pragmatic information, such as other reasons a patient should be preferred for one drug versus another, the way we do with all patients.
And as we go through this conversation, I'd like to bring in some of the other considerations I've heard about in terms of anti-VEGF therapy with other tumors. And one that's kind of interesting that I hadn't thought about before was the combination of bevacizumab and trastuzumab, which is now being thought of in the adjuvant breast cancer arena. And Dennis Slamon was raising an interesting point in an interview for our breast cancer series about the interaction between the cardiac effects of trastuzumab and the afterload or hypertensive effects of bevacizumab. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, from a toxicity point of view, we know that anti-VEGF therapy has some risk of cardiac toxicity in terms of two factors. One is a small but real increased risk of coronary artery symptoms or disease, such as a heart attack or unstable angina. In addition, there's a small risk related to cardiomyopathy. This is seen essentially so far only in the group who have had prior risks, including anthracyclines or left chest wall radiation. There may also be a risk related to use of HER inhibitors, in particular trastuzumab. Now, we know that receptors for both agents, that is the HER2 receptor and the VEGF receptors, are present in the heart. Whether or not there will be an increased risk of cardiomyopathy related to use of both agents, what the magnitude of that toxicity might be, how it can be managed, and how it may even be offset by any really meaningful clinical benefit are still issues that need to be dealt with. I think the preclinical biology is compelling enough that these two classes of drugs should be combined, but with careful safety monitoring, particularly in early studies and then also later, so that if there is some effect on cardiomyopathy, we can pick it up and develop strategies to deal with it. Strategies obviously could include avoidance of the drug, careful monitoring with stoppage of one or more of the two drugs if there is any decline in LVEF as detected either by echo or usually by MUGA, or there may be other strategies which may be developed later on. I would suggest, related to the issue of management of hypertension, this is another soft reason why we should pay attention to the management of this otherwise asymptomatic issue, because long-term hypertension, we know from other literature, does increase the risk of congestive heart failure long-term for non-cancer patients.